Word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Rebecca Lavoie, in for Virginia Prescott. At the Comedy Club, there's no subject too taboo. In the right comics' hands, race, sex, ethnicity, weight, sexual orientation, they're all game for exploitation for a laugh.
I love the euphemisms from that time for like, yes, a gentleman of a certain distinction, when you're not allowed to say gay back in those days. Oh, he's a gentleman with a long handshake.
Stand-up comedian James Adomian there from his debut album, Low Hanging Fruit. Recently, New York Times comedy critic Jason Zinnemann wondered whether Adomian is set to become the first male, openly gay stand-up star, which made us wonder, why hasn't there been one before? Jason, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Great to be here.
So, do you mind answering that question for us? Why hasn't there been an openly gay guy comedy star?
Well, it's a great question, and honestly, it's bizarre because the comedy world is very progressive and accepting of all kinds, and there's very gay friendly right now. And you know, in a world where you have Anderson Cooper out of the closet and stars like Neil Patrick Harris, the fact that there's no gay male star is unusual. I think it's not because there's not a lot of gay comics today. There are a lot of gay comics in live clubs. It's more about taking that next step, and why hasn't there been that figure, over the last couple of decades? I mean, I think there's many, many answers to this, one of which is just, old-fashioned homophobia, or more specifically, it has to do with, the kinds of gay comics who are given opportunities on television. They're stuck in kind of very rigid roles, playing, like the wacky gay next door neighbor, kind of the amazing.
Yeah, kind of
stereotype.
The sidekick. Yeah, the sidekick seems to be the traditional role.
Exactly, and it's not necessarily a great platform to jump to become the next Seinfeld.
Exactly. So let's talk about James Adomian. I did listen to his album, but if you don't mind, just tell us a little bit about his comedy for those who haven't heard it.
Well, he's a really fantastically charismatic performer who I think a lot of his potential comes from his diverse skill set. He's a great improviser. He's a really good joke teller. He has skills of an actor, but I think he's probably best known as for his impressions. He's become kind of a minor star in the comedy podcast world, and he sort of is like a sort of Frank Gorshin style impressionist, where he can not only imitate all sorts of people with great accuracy, but also then use that character to then improvise and riff off other people, and both be funny in that character in the way that an actor would be, which is quite hard.
That's right. He does that sort of whispering English voice from everybody does in Game of Thrones, the working class New Yorker who he says is the Mucinex booger. but he also does some celebrities. Let's listen to him on the show Last Comic Standing. There he was taking requests from the panel of judges. He starts with celebrity conspiracy theorist Gary Busey.
I will look you all in the eye at the same time and explain to you people that the events of 9/11 happened on 9/12. That is the truth.
Do Jesse the Body Ventura. Do Jesse the Body Ventura.
I don't care what America thinks. You're not my commanding officer.
Do George Bush.
I appreciate that. I understand. I'm fully understandful that there's folks out there. I know that.
So impressions are pretty much a staple of comedy. It seems that his act, though, is structured in such a way that gay doesn't lead but sort of sneaks in as a lens later. How much does sexuality play a role in his stage performance?
It's an interesting question. I mean, I think that for the most part, he talks about sexuality in the way that a straight comic would. He's completely out of the closet. Obviously, he talks about sex, but it's not... I wouldn't say it's foregrounded. At the same time, I think some of my favorite of his bits are ones in which he talks about sexuality in a way that a straight comic could not. And here's, I think, where the crux is, which is that I think when people talk about diversity in comedy, whether it's women or gay men or whatever, it's often viewed as kind of a moral or political question. But I think more interestingly to me is as an aesthetic question, that a white comic couldn't do Chris Rock or Richard Pryor's material. So diversity in comedy is a real asset aesthetically. And you see that in some of Adomian's work, you know, that he will cover some topics from the perspective of a gay man that, you know, somebody who's straight just couldn't do.
We're talking about comic James Adomian with New York Times comedy critic Jason Zinnemann. He thinks Adomian might be on track to become the first openly gay male comic star. Let's hear a little bit more from James' act. Here's an example of how he applies that gay point of view you were talking about to some pop culture icons.
One thing I am obsessed with is the archetype of the gay villain. It is my favorite thing in the world. Always the thin mustache. It's a common thing in that effeminate manner, you know? Like any Vincent Price movie, he's there and he's like, "Welcome to my chamber of secrets. This is my curious associate, Raoul. Our relationship need not be specified." Or then, of course, all the Decepticons and Transformers, all of them, just screaming at each other like they're backstage at a drag show. Megatron, shut up, Starscream!
Do you think that has a little bit more punch because we know that James is gay? Do you think that it's a different kind of delivery than we'd have from a straight comic telling the same joke?
It's slightly different, although I wouldn't necessarily say that that's an example. I mean, you could imagine a straight comic doing that kind of bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think, you know, in my piece I talk about seeing him at a straight club and seeing him at a gay club, and there are some differences in his set, but what's most telling is how few differences there are.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Well, I think like that bit can work for anybody, and that's, you know, the question of the piece is less about gay comics than gay comics becoming stars. So what does it take to become a star? Well, it means you need to reach a really large audience that kind of transcends whatever niche you come out of. And I think the fact that he can have jokes that come from a very particular sensibility, and it's not just about sexuality, you know, he obviously comes from all sorts of different points of views, but it's one that then could be more universal, have a more universal impact. That's the quality that I think the first gay male, you know, stand-up star will have.
So when you talk about the slight variations, is he doing any translating for the gay or straight audiences? Is he saying, you know, for those of you who don't understand, this is a gay thing? Does he do that kind of thing in his live show?
I noticed two points. When I saw him do a gay club, he did an accent of someone from the West Coast, and he specified that this was a straight accent, which he didn't do. And the other thing, which I think is really interesting, is the question of coming out on stage. And gay comics, you know, the question is, do you need to come out on stage every show? It seems ridiculous. It's something that straight comics never think about. When I saw him, and there's some gay comics who just refuse to do it on principle. When I saw him play a straight club, he did that bit that you played early on where he had sort of a series of versions of saying you're gay. And when I saw him at a gay club, he didn't do that. I don't know if he just left that part out or if, you know, the assumption was that he was gay because he's in a gay club. But otherwise, I think the most notable thing is just how much in common the two sets have.
So we just have a little over a minute left. You are the comedy critic for the New York Times. I mean, I think aside from the wine critic, maybe that is the best gig there. Does it ever get tired listening to jokes and dissecting them for readers?
Oh, never. Never.
Well, it sounds like a dream job, and it sounds like one that you enjoy. And I can't thank you enough for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Have a great time.
Jason Zinnemann, he's the comedy critic for the New York Times. You can find a link to his article, Gay Male Comics Await the Spotlight, and to James Adomian's debut album, Low Hanging Fruit, at wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up, Louisiana is once again bearing the brunt of a devastating storm. We'll look back to how music played a role in healing New Orleans after Katrina. That's when Word of Mouth continues.